Welcome to Paper Money, the biweekly podcast covering the business side of the game industry, from Federation Commander to Founding Fathers, Amarillo Design Bureau to Jolly Roger Games. I'm Ben Clark.
And I'm Rhett Kipp.
Today is September 10th, 2010.
Ooh.
I know. I'm very excited. I had a birthday this week.
Yes, I know you did. Happy birthday, older man.
Thank you very much, much older man.
Much older man.
So that's all right. So the good news is that I got a whole batch of games in. So I've got Pacific 19, Axis and Allies Pacific and Europe 1940. I got Ascension. I got Thunderstone. I'm set.
Yeah, well, from what I understand, setting up the Axis and Allies combined Europe and Pacific could have you set between now and Christmas.
Right. There's advantages to living in the country, and one of those is that I have a 40-foot pole barn, because that's about what it takes. That's a 70-inch map when you put it together.
Yeah, that's what I understand. 6 feet square.
Yeah, six. Well, it's 70 inches by 34, so it's not quite 6 feet square. But by the time you put in your nationality cards and your storage and everything else, really, you're looking at about 2 6-foot banquet tables.
Nice.
To play on, yeah. So Kath was excited when I put it on the dining room table. Just she walked in and was like, no. So I'm like, let's eat out tonight, hon. So anyways, hey, we have a, you know, we often say, Rhett, that we have a light news week this week. And boy, this week, we've got a light news week.
We've got a really light news week this week.
In fact,
apparently, everybody is taking the holidays off. They were at all Dragon Con or something else. I don't know what's going on this week, but
you know,
I think they're
like,
all in comas.
It's like the day after Thanksgiving, you don't eat much.
Yeah,
you know,
kidding.
There was a huge bulge at Gen Con of stuff that was either, you know, previewed or pre-released, like Dust Tactics and some of the other stuff, and Dominion Prosperity, that are going to be coming out soon but haven't quite come out yet, and a bunch of stuff that did come out. So we're kind of in this gray area between the fall releases, the later fall releases, and the stuff that has just come out. So everybody's taking a bit of a breather here, I think, collectively breathing in before fourth quarter. And we also didn't get any listener commentary. Thank you very much. And so anyways, which I was surprised, by the way, we had such a great show with Zev last week. I thought that would be like a big hit, but apparently Zev, not a draw. Like, we'll just need to have Randall on the show every week. That really
I was
going to
say, maybe he is a good draw. It just doesn't mean that, you know, people wanted to respond in any way or shape or form.
That's
like
true.
I said, I think everybody just took the holidays off. It's last hurrah summer.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
weather finally got nice. It's down to about 70 degrees here.
Must be nice. It's freezing here. It was 50 degrees this morning, but I digress. Zev, we love you. You said very interesting things. We're going to have you back on the show. Don't mean to denigrate that experience at all. But now let's launch into the really light news. News this week, Liam Neeson signs on for the Battleship movie.
Awesome. Just awesome.
The only reason I bring this up is that I really hope that he plays the aliens.
That would be cool.
Well, he was the bad guy in Ponyo, right?
Right.
He's got experience playing underwater bad guys already.
There we go.
It's like baked into his DNA because he was
maybe it was a shark in a previous life.
God, now I can't get the Ponyo theme out of my head. Okay. Anyway, so the Battleship movie, by the way, shaking up to be the movie of next year.
I'm already prepared to buy tickets.
I really just hope I want them to redo Clue with the original cast from the 1980s film. Martin Mull died. Never mind.
I was gonna say that would be a little difficult.
And Madeline Kahn.
I was gonna say because two of them are dead.
Well, maybe we could get Carol Kane. I think she'd be good for that.
There we go.
Or Jenny McCarthy. Sorry, I just couldn't resist. Anyways, the other news this week, much more specific really to the business side of the game industry, other than, you know,
so we're not just gonna cover movies all day?
No, although the Battleship movie generates stuff every week. There is more press on this stupid Battleship movie that I have to sort through.
It is the strangest movie concept, you know. I think the title is the only resemblance to the game.
We're going to find out. And our other story this week is there are two companies now, comes to us from the miniatures page, who are doing very specifically gamer geek vacation packages. One of them is Geek Nation Tours, that's geeknationtours.com, and they've got a UK tour, a Mexican gaming holiday, anime and samurai, and then they're having an Adepticon tour in Chicago. This is now someone has tried this before with cruises, I think, but this is the first time I've seen like multiple packages. And then the other one is War Game Holidays, which appears to be based out of Crete. And they're doing, of course, a 70th anniversary of the German invasion of Crete tour next year. Go see Maleme Airfield. And I probably pronounced that wrong, by the way. And then they're doing a host of other themed tours, but I think they're all on Crete.
Yeah.
If you.
If it's the War Game Holiday Center, I believe that's where they reside now.
This would explain why they're doing Gettysburg on Crete. But anyways, this is an interesting concept. I mean, there's always been the issue of, gosh, I'd love to go somewhere and play hardcore games, but my wife would hate that. And honestly, if I book a vacation to Crete and I disappear for a few days to play miniatures, I don't think that that would be too much of a problem because there's other stuff to do there.
Yeah, there's a few interesting things to do on the island of Crete besides that, and there's interesting water and other things that are involved in the whole island of Crete.
Yes. For instance, strife between the Greeks and the Turks. Oh no, that's Cyprus. Anyways,
No.
no. Well, the reason this is interesting is that I think it shows it's a classic example of niche marketing. Gamers in general, better educated, generally have above average income, and certainly for the kind of tours that they're marketing out of Crete, are older and have the time and the money to do this, right? I mean, you and I have been in the industry a while. The guys who play 20 millimeter World War II miniatures games are older than us, really. The kind of guys who are doing this, I think, religiously, a lot of them. And so that market is, this is great. This is your retirement. This is what you do this year, in your retirement. And I think it's an excellent example of niche marketing to the gamer market.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see how the Geek Nation stuff goes. Coming to Chicago for Adepticon, the entire tour package is, about being at Adepticon, investing time, which is an interesting convention. It's the only games day that's not sponsored by Workshop, and they have branched out quite a bit. But again, you point out that this is something you could take your spouse to. It's not like you can't find something to do in Chicago.
Yes, the only thing I would caution people about Adepticon is that it's not downtown this year.
Well,
It's the
it's back
Weston
out.
Lombard Yorktown Center. So if this thing is out in Yorktown, I used to get my car worked down on out in Yorktown when I worked in this when I lived on the north side. It's a hike.
Yeah.
Okay, you're not in down. You're barely in the metro area at that point, but it's Adepticon. Okay.
But it's Adepticon, and frankly, you could, get into the city if that was your intention.
Yeah, there's a metro line right there. It's not far, I think, from the Aurora metro station, and you can just shoot in there. Your spouse and your kids can spend the day in downtown Chicago, then you can come back and then come back out to the hotel. But again, this is the travel industry. Really, in the last 10 years, discovered gay people. Right, were a great sub niche because they tend to be fairly educated and have more money. And then also don't have kids that they have to spend money on in general. So now it looks like they've discovered that gamers are another niche market that they can target. We'll see how this does.
Yeah, I think these are both interesting concepts.
Yes, they are. I would say that these are more, have more of a likelihood of making money than the try to buy internet game shipping that we talked about last week.
Right.
That would just be my personal opinion on that. And that's it for the news, really. Again, we'll have links, by the way, to both the Wargaming vacation stuff and the Geek Nation tours. And that leads us into our commentary. Right now, we've just been talking about gamers having more money, but let's look at the flip side of that. I don't know if anybody's been following the economic news. The big talk now is, are we headed for a double dip recession? I think we are. Part of that, living in Michigan, I can tell you, there's been no double dip. It's been an L, okay? But the question we've always, or the thing we've always said about the game industry, at least we tell ourselves, is that it's fairly recession-proof. And my question is, headed into a double-dip recession, are we recession-proof, really, or are we just pulling our own legs on that?
I've always, I've been through a couple of these in my few years here in the industry. We're more resilient, but we're not recession proof. We're not an essential. We're not food. We're not shelter. We're not how you get back and forth to work to get the food and shelter. And, there's a lot of other entertainment out there that people are already invested heavily in. Television, for example.
Right.
I really see people, if it comes to budget cutting, people aren't going to cut out their cable television as opposed to not buying their $50 board game this month.
Oh, I don't know. I think Netflix with the instant downloads is actually starting to cut into the cable.
Possibility, but it's still, what is it, $10 a month subscription?
Yeah, it's like somewhere about $15 a month, right, for
Yeah.
Netflix.
Again,
But yeah.
that's not really, I'll go back with the, those are the things that people are somewhat invested in already to go in and buy a new game, which is what we're talking about, not playing your games, but investing in the new games. Not always a necessity.
Interesting. Well, see, now the thing is that the last time, both of the last times we've gone into a recession, board game sales have spiked, okay, as people have stayed home. The question is, as the recession drags on, are people still going to be buying board games and staying home, or are they just going to stay home?
Well, and what I can say is we've seen some really, really spectacular sales this season on expensive products. Fantasy Flight's new $100 Napoleonic game has already gone out of print, sold
Yes.
out. We've seen the new general, high-end board games continue to do very well. Depends on, what specific line we want to address there.
Yeah.
But most of them have continued to do well. The Euro games, for example, have continued to do well. The new card product games have continued to do well.
Yes. So we're doing better than most in this industry, right? We're still better off than a Chrysler dealership.
Absolutely. I just to add to this stuff, the new Flames of War Blitzkrieg, from all indications, has done extremely well. They've done, they've sold a ton of the main core book. They
Is
still
Flames of War the thing that would not die?
No, it's certainly got a real shot at killing itself this season.
Okay.
I don't want to go into that at this point, other than to say that their cost of goods and the fact that they are not immune to competition. Anybody can make a World War II vehicle. I'm hearing more and more spin of people not buying, buying into Blitzkrieg the book, but looking for their early war stuff from other manufacturers.
Interesting. Sorry, I didn't mean to get sidetracked on
Yeah,
that.
I don't really want to go down that
Yeah,
path.
let's not. We'll save that for our miniature show. But the now this is something that we, like you said, we are certainly as having worked for two game printing companies that have gone under in the last couple of years. I can definitely tell you that there is a recession, and no, the entire industry is not immune to it. But the board game market is kind of driving the industry right now. And now I've hinted at this before. I've said this before. I do think that the Euro market seems to be maturing. Okay, I don't want to say that the pace of evolution is going to slow. Certainly, it's easier to experiment in this market than in others, which is something that Rhett you've pointed out and will probably comment on. But I can't see what we talked about, with Zev last week. Is he's producing 30 games a year. Rio Grande is probably producing another 30 games a year. Mayfair, I think they're doing 17 or 18,
Yeah.
something like that. And those are just the big boys, okay?
Well, and that's ignoring Fantasy Flight and
Thank you, who
who
is also currently printing a lot of games.
Yeah, and you know, and then all these smaller manufacturers who are, you know, at least sticking their big toes in and maybe their whole foot into the market now. AEG's produced a number of games in the market.
Yes.
Catalyst has produced a number of games in the market.
And Catalyst still has a couple to go.
And Catalyst still has a couple to go. And AEG still seems to be interested in the market, though they've, you know, maneuvered some of their stuff around on that. But you know, I don't think this is going to end there. I mean, you know, we keep seeing new players entering the market. I wouldn't be surprised to see a little bit more from Privateer. Privateer is, you know, kind of dabbled in the market, and I wouldn't really be surprised to see Privateer enter a little deeper into the market and so
Right,
on.
so it's getting to be a crowded marketplace. It's not a case of if you build a euro, they will come.
Yeah.
And you really it is getting crowded. And what that means is, again, as with the banking fallout in 2008, we bailed out the big guys and the little guys failed in droves. Okay, and this is exactly the kind of economics that you're going to see in the board game market. Don't expect a bailout, by the way, from the federal government if FFG hits a wall. But they're going to do okay. Okay, it's at the lower end of the market where most of us live that we really need to mind your P's and Q's in order to make ends meet because things are going to be tight. People, like you said, people might not try new stuff. Right, they're going to buy an FFG monster game. Because they know it's FFG, right? It's got a brand behind it. They're going to buy the new Alan R. Moon game or whatever, but they might not take a chance on something new.
Yeah, you know, we talked on this briefly as far as the general concepts of, you know, what's going on in the industry for economics. And, you know, the fact of the matter is to try to produce a collectible is, you know, enormous outlay and expense for both the consumer and the manufacturers.
Well, let's talk about that for a minute. Some strategies to deal with this marketplace, right? We have a crowded marketplace. We have mature role playing, mature collectible card games, and board games are, I think, hitting the inflection point on the ascent up. As a manufacturer, what are some strategies to deal with this, right? And as you say, collectibles are.
I think expanding into collectibles is a dangerous market. It'll be interesting to see how WizKids performs. WizKids just launched the new Spider-Man Marvel expansion, and I'm really waiting to see how that does overall for them, because that's only like their second new, you know, product that they've developed. I think this is the first one they've developed completely on their own from previous WizKids to current WizKids. And again, you know, like I say, I'm very interested to see how this plays out, because I think this is a good measuring stick for where the collectibles are able to go.
Right.
Wizards is launching the Essentials line. They just launched the box set, believe a week ago. And this Friday, they launched the first of the new formatted books, which are paperback. They're journal size, trade paper size, I should say. Believe the page count's about 300 some odd pages.
So what's the why is the why are the Essentials a good recession product? Because just because they're paperback and they're good value for the money, or
I think for fourth edition players, for anybody trying to go in there, they're certainly an economic boon. You know, the problem is that Wizards had gotten the fourth edition products up to an average of about $35 a book. And this is dropping their product cost down to $20 again. So, you know, again, the question comes down to, if you're going to make an investment in the games, it's a little less painful to invest $100 into three hardcover books than $40 into two softcover books.
All right. There's an excellent strategy as well. Don't necessarily cheapen your product, but make it more affordable, right? You
Yeah.
know, that'd be the best way to describe that. I mean, it's still a, it's a, I'm sure it's going to be a great product, but at $20 versus 35, yeah, I can see that.
And it's a, you know, and it's a reconfiguration as opposed to creating something from scratch. It's not like they
Right.
created fourth edition 4.5, you know, the way they did with third edition. I mean, this was really just figuring out how to condense stuff to make it more accessible. You know, from the retailer strategies, retailers, I think, have a number of things to do, which is always a, a basic, which is, you know, how to do inventory, do proper inventories.
This is the game industry. We don't do inventory.
I know, I know. For years, I understand that one.
That stuff that didn't sell, that's collectible.
Exactly.
In 15 years, I'll get top money for it on eBay.
But the you know, the general advice is, you know, do a, you know, do a weekly inventory. Find out what is selling. If you have lines that are obviously not performing, don't be afraid to cull them back. Remember not to kill the core product, because you've just killed the line at that point. If that, no
That'd
one
be a good manufacturer strategy, by the way. I was just perusing several manufacturers' websites yesterday. You'd be amazed at the number of core games that are out of print, and all the expansions are in print.
Yeah, I'm not amazed. It's staggering.
Yeah, FFG, I'm talking to you in particular. But anyways, yeah, so inventory control is important.
Yeah.
Now, the advice on inventory, by the way, has always been to stock broad, not deep. And in your core stuff, by which we mean don't have six copies of Settlers of Catan on hand if you normally turn one a month. And you know, at Christmas, obviously have six on hand. But now one of the strategies that I remember a lot of retailers tried when the comics depression, as we'll call it, hit in the 90s, was to start broadening their market, to start carrying other items. They branched out into games, obviously. But beyond that, into, we'll call it, for lack of a better word, tchotchkes. And other things. Now, is that something that people should try in this, you know, to broaden their market, capture more of the retail dollar?
You know, my feeling always about that in a recession period is that unless you know something about the market you're expanding into, and I don't mean just dabbling, I mean you know something about the market you're expanding into, I think that's a really poor choice. Now, if you educate yourself into it and you understand what you're doing, that's a different situation. But, you know, if you're just blindly going out there and looking at, well, you know, I've always been carrying, you know, I'm a comic book store. Should I go into games? Well, possibly. Yeah. Who's in your market? You know, if you got two game stores in your area, it's probably not a best choice.
Yes. To paraphrase my good friend, comedian Kostaki Economopoulos, think of the MasterCard logo, right? And you have comic buyers and game buyers. Target the overlap.
Yeah.
And it's the same with really anything. So, for instance, Blenders, probably not a good fit for your game or comic store.
Well, you know, one of my favorite game comic stores is also a pet store. So I'm not sure how that's worked for them, but they've been around for 20 years.
You know,
so
I've purchased a few dogs in game stores, but never, mostly metaphorically. So anyways, so in other words, if you know, just like when you're buying stocks, you know, buy what you know, right? Get into what you know.
Exactly.
We're not, you know, obviously, if you have a comic and game store, why are you not selling potato chips, for instance, if you have a play area? Always a good way to capture an extra couple of cents. And then the other thing I wanted to mention was, and we had talked about this briefly at Gen Con, Rhett, was WizKids and what they have done with their advertising / marketing in a recession, which was that I think you said this a lot better than I do, so I'm going to let you take this over there. But they cut back their advertising marketing budget $1 million, I think
something,
you said?
Something on the order of...
And they're getting better results because they're targeting better.
They're targeting better. They specifically looked at their broad strategy that they had before they, you know, before they were let go and bought them and then bought themselves back, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And they were spending an enormous amount of money on advertising, and it didn't seem to be working very well for them. They refocused their strategy. They reduced the number of conventions they were going to. They targeted their audience a little stronger. And I don't really even think that it's that they've changed their product so much as they have changed who they're marketing it at and how they're marketing it. And by all accounts and by all of their accounts, they're doing much better. And I won't go into numbers, but you know, it's enormous value. By, you know, like I say, and it's just a retargeting strategy. It's effectively looking at your advertising dollars and trying to understand, you know, that half that doesn't do you any good. What is that half?
Yes, well, exactly. The famous quote, was it the one of the members of the GM board? Actually, I'm probably getting that wrong, but you know, I half the money I spend on advertising is wasted. If I knew which half, I wouldn't spend it. So kudos to WizKids for figuring out which $1 million they were wasting. And then this is something, I don't know if you guys saw this in the store or not. WizKids just released the Hunger Games board game. Now, as far as I know, one, this is the first WizKids games, and I'm sure this is driven by the execs at Tops. But two, not a bad license to pick up. All right, this is going to be a good general market game for them.
Yeah.
And I'll be blunt, my son has it. It is has not played it. Is just thrilled. Okay, he's a big reader. Loves the Hunger Games. Licensing on fairly cheap properties is another good recession strategy, by the way. I was going to mention the other product that came out this week, Back to the Future, the card game.
Right. Looting Labs did a new Back to the Future.
That's correct. And the Back to the Future card game, by the way, also doing something we've talked about. If you ordered the display pack, all right, before I think last Friday, you got a free demo copy, like booger glued to the back of the display pack. So you got basically seven games for the price of six, with one theoretically being your demo copy.
Yeah, well, it's clearly labeled as demo copy.
Okay, well, sure. Like those have never been sold before.
No,
But
but you know.
the point is, though, is that from the manufacturer perspective, is that here is a way to get a product into the store and have it demoed, right? We've been talking about giving away demo copies to get
Right.
people to play, and it was something that Looney Labs felt strongly enough about that they were going to give away. Like I said, one game for every six they sold on stuff that they sold before September 3rd.
Yeah.
So,
And it's a strategy they've used previously. So that,
yes.
you know, this is a proven strategy for them. And again, you know, as you said, we've talked about this before. This seems to be one of those, you know, those strategies that does work for people.
Yeah, so that's again, these are all strategies that. One, most of these are good strategies in any economic condition. They get more important in a recession, right? As the cash flow shrinks, you don't have the opportunity to experiment widely, okay? Unless you're FFG and you have more money than crisis, you've got to make it count. This is like playing St. Petersburg, okay? For those of you who are on the Euro games, if you don't budget wisely, you run out of rubles before the end of the turn. And it's a disaster because you got to wait till the next turn. Think of that with real dollars, and that's what can happen. So again, be thinking about this from a business perspective, not, God, I love this stuff, so I'm gonna buy it or develop it or whatever. Be thinking about this from a cold-hearted mercenary cash perspective, and you're gonna do a lot better in a recession.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things that we've talked about here a number of times, and talked around it a number of times today, is demos and basically how to get free labor out of gamers, which is, you know, from a manufacturer's standpoint, that's a great strategy, which is a minimum amount of investment to get a maximum impact in the store as far as, you know, what games are going on, how to attract a new audience, a larger audience. You know, Wizards has been doing this for years. WizKids has been doing this for years. We've seen GW do rollout launches. Battlefront just did a rollout launch with the new Blitzkrieg series for Flames of War. You know, I really think that these are strategies that work as well. I think it's one. I think the best example of it still is the original one, which is AEG's L5R series, where they basically grassroots the game out there. And
They barnstormed the demos.
yeah, they barnstormed the demos and they got it out everywhere. And it's the reason that, you know, L5R, besides it being a good game, but it's the other reason that L5R got out there and is still there today,
Yes.
because they built their market from the ground up. And again, it was pretty much free labor.
Yes, I mean the real cost on that, by the way, is time. Right? Because you're going to have to you have to find the people. Usually you're going to have to find them online, you're going to have to coach them in the game, and you're going to have to monitor the results to make sure that that they're actually doing what they said. But again, your time is, this is the game industry, right? If it doesn't cost money, that's good. So anyways, Rhett, let's wrap this up. I apologize. You and I could talk about some of this stuff, I think, for forever, in particular the demos. So Rhett, how can people comment on our commentary?
Well, you can reach us and we'd love to hear your comments at papermoney@purplepawn.com. You can Skype us at Paper Money Podcast, or you can phone us at 773-634-9377. Still want a jingle for that.
And if you're looking for our RSS feed, we do have a dedicated RSS feed on the Purple Pawn, and that's purplepawn.com/category/papermoney/feed. I'm just going to quit saying forward. We're 20 years into the net era. I think I can do that now. But the again, we'd love to hear your feedback and comments. And Rhett, what's coming up next? Dragon Con was this week, by the way. Anyone who it's been all over CNN.com like a rash. But other than that, I don't know what's coming up.
Not much. We're moving towards fourth quarter. Tons of new releases. I know there's some, major stuff going on in November, but prior to that, there isn't a whole lot that I'm aware of.
Yes, Dust Tactics. I think that's
What?
the.
Well, we have the launch of a number of games. As we've mentioned, the Essentials are coming
Yep.
out this week from Wizards.
Yes, but Wizards of the Coast does not have Sherman Tank AT-ATs.
No, that's true. It doesn't have Sherman Tank AT-ATs or interesting German armor mecha. I'm a fan of this one, folks, but.
All right, now, folks, just so you know, I'm going to give away this idea, this brilliant licensing idea, for free to our listener audience. Are you ready for this? Sergeant Rock World War II skirmish game. Come on. Did you?
I think WizKids has the rights to that.
You're joking, right?
No, they've got DC and Marvel. No, nice try though. Good
Damn.
idea.
All right, we'll talk to WizKids and don't make it collectible. But I thought, okay, I thought Sergeant. How about Nick Fury?
Same thing, that's Marvel.
Oh,
and now
forget
he
it.
runs Shield, so they
Well,
got him a couple.
yeah, we don't want to talk about Nick Fury, Agent of Shield.
I like Nick Fury, Agent of Shield.
No, after the no. Sorry, once he quit taking out Germans, he was dead to me. Anyways, all right, on that note, our next show is September 24th, and we'll have a really cool guest, as far as you know. And I think that's it for this show.
I believe so. So that's it for this show. I'm Red Kip.
And I'm Ben Clark. We'll talk to you on the flip side. And let me
Done.
find.
40 minutes, huh? Thank you.